And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
What's going on, all my NFL and fantasy football fans out there? This is the NFL Exporter, live and direct. You are tuned in to another edition of the Extra Point. We are winding down week 16, which means tonight certainly should have some type of playoff or championship implications on you. We got two teams, the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning, C.J. Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, perhaps Julius Thomas, kicker Connor Barth. There may be some people with Denver's defense tonight. For the Cincinnati Bengals, you have A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill, most notably. Some other people also may be playing, Andy Dalton, Mohamed Sanu, or Mike Nugent, the kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know too many people who will be confident playing the Bengals' defense tonight, but we have seen stranger things happen. Before we get into the show, let's make sure you know that the call-in number is 347-637-3220 tonight. We're all about fantasy football and what took place in week 16. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We're getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. I am quite sure this is going to be a very heavily and closely watched game tonight with owners out there everywhere, with a lot of these players in their games, myself included, in my NFL league. I am in a championship game. I am currently not looking too good. I've got an outside, as much of an outside shot as you can possibly have. I have Connor Barth, the kicker for the Denver Broncos. I am down 14 points, but my opponent still has A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill. If you were placing a bet on this game, myself included, you certainly would have to like the chances of my opponent. But certainly I'm in it until the last play. The game or victory is certain. We have seen stranger things happen, and I would love to see Andy Dalton, maybe like Andrew Luck with a big fat zero. Perhaps Jeremy Hill can find a way to maybe only manage 30 or 40 yards, and if I can get Connor Barth maybe to give me a 15 to 18, it's really probably going to say 18 points with that combination, but nonetheless, you get the picture. It's certainly not all about me. I will say, on the other hand, in my Yahoo League, Connor Barth is the guy I am depending on as well. I'm in the championship game there. I am ahead by about 5 points. My opponent has Mohamed Sanu. I have Connor Barth. Certainly in that one, my chance is much, much greater. Also, I have to shout out my man, Mr. Jeremy Taylor, Mr. ATM, Mr. Cash Out himself. Jerry is the host of The Master Plan, which comes on each and every Sunday morning. I co-host that show with him right here, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talked to him a bit yesterday. He is certainly looking to bring some championships in advance in a few other leagues, had a couple other leagues not looking too good. But of most note, he has a championship on the line tonight. He is ahead by 40 points. His opponent has Emmanuel Sanders. This is a PPR league. And so, man, good luck to Jerry. I certainly hope that the cards fall in your favor to where you can bring home a W tonight. We also usually have Mr. FSP himself, Victor Gardner, usually joins the show with me on Monday. If he does, so cool. If not, shout him out as well. I am definitely certain he's got some championships or playoff games on the line this week. So let's run to a quick commercial break. When we come back, you already know what it is. We are going to hit week 16, and we are going to hit week 16 really, really hard. So stay tuned for that. There was certainly a lot that went on yesterday in week 16 that had a huge implications on your fantasy football matchup. So don't go anywhere. We are going to take a look at that right after this break. It's the Extra Point NFL Explorer Championship Week here, Week 16 on the Extra Point.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Championship Week 16 Fantasy Football Playoffs. Are in full swing here. Congratulations to everybody who's made it this far. I'm quite sure there are a lot of owners out there who already have their games in hand. I know it's got to be a great feeling getting through 16 weeks, but for the most part, this is a championship game. It was a wacky day as far as stats were concerned, as we're going to see here in a minute. Certainly should be a lot of games that are in contention, like myself, needing Connor Barth in two leagues to produce, along with A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill having horrible games. I would certainly love to see some zeros from those guys tonight. And my good friend and co-host, he is the host, I should say, of the Master Plan, Jerry Taylor, every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's got a championship on the line. He's playing against Emmanuel Sanders in PPR League. So let's go ahead and get the show rolling. Yesterday, your top overall score in fantasy football, your top quarterback, once again, it was Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, put on a show last night. Wilson had over 300 yards passing, two passing TDs, one of them an 80-yarder, and then he ran for 88 yards and gave you a touchdown for icing on the cake. That guy has been unbelievable this year. From where you were able to draft Russell Wilson and the production that he's given you, the confidence you can play him now pretty much against any defense. It has to be a good feeling. He is a championship-caliber quarterback. There is no question about that. Let's take a peek inside of that game. This one was all about Seattle there, as both me and Jerry anticipated. Basically, what we thought would happen, happened to a certain degree, without question. Seahawks defense dominated. They came in this week actually fourth on defensive special teams with 12 points. However, Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Now, Russell Wilson did, Jerry Taylor had Russell Wilson doing much better than I anticipated, but I don't think either one of us expected 339 yards, basically over 400 yards of total offense and three touchdowns. I don't think anybody anticipated that. In that game, I thought it would be more of a 20-6 type ball game. We knew the Seahawks defense was going to dominate. We knew it was going to be a lot of rushing the football. We knew that the Seahawks were going to have a lot of opportunities, but I think the explosive play, the 79-yard TD by Lynch, the 80-yard TD by Wilson to Luke Wilson, who also ended up being the top fantasy tight end last night. He had two touchdowns, 130 yards in that game. Those type of explosive plays we didn't anticipate. We thought Seattle would move the football. Now, they did have to settle for field goals on a couple positions. One of our disappointments of the week, kicker Stephen Hauschka with only 2 points. He missed two 50-yarders and a 40-yarder. So that is 14 points plus extra points for Seattle. And so he was a disappointment, but we thought that Seattle would have to settle for field goals. Obviously, they were able to come out of that thing with five touchdowns. Great performance by them. As we told you, you had no business playing any Arizona Cardinals in that game. You should not have had on offense Larry Fitzgerald 3 points. We projected that. That was a no-brainer there. And I think Marshawn Lynch certainly did his owners justice. Anybody who sat him out, because let's face it, in that first matchup against Arizona, they held him in check rushing. You figured Arizona knew they had a backup quarterback in, so their defense would be able to sink their teeth in a little bit more. But this one, again, was all Seattle. For those of you who played him, I know he wasn't mentioned on the show. Didn't hear anything about him all week. Again, this game ended up being a much larger victory for Seattle than anticipated with those big plays. Doug Baldwin had 113 yards. I don't think anybody had him in the lineup, but he was a nice pickup this week if some way, somehow you happen to play him. Your number two quarterback with Eli Manning, he was unbelievable yesterday against the St. Louis Rams defense, who myself, Jerry, I apologize to owners. Again, we don't give you advice that we don't take ourselves. Any owners playing the Rams on my behalf, I was right there with you. Unfortunately, I got 0 points from them yesterday. That's a big reason I'm behind 14 points in my current championship game. Eli Manning just flat-out torched them. I don't know where the pass rushes went for the Rams the last couple weeks. One sack yesterday, only one sack the week before against Arizona. And it was a defense that from week 9 up until week 14 had been playing absolutely lights out. Even last week in the loss against Arizona, they didn't get the turnovers, but they held them to 3 field goals. So, you know, I myself thought that St. Louis was due for a victory at home. They had a 10-day rest. I thought that, you know, watching Odell Beckham Jr. Torch defenses week after week, they would basically put a bounty out on them, not to hurt them, but to double-team them or shut them down at any cost. I thought the Rams front seven, posed a big-time problem to Eli Manning. You certainly thought some sacks, if nothing else, were in tow, but they did not show up. Eli Manning started off the game going to Reuben Randle and then brought it back to Odell Beckham Jr., but Manning, 391 yards, 3 touchdowns, perfect quarterback rating. Currently, Odell Beckham Jr. with 26, Reuben Randle with 19. Those are your top two receivers in fantasy. Both of those guys up over 130 yards, TD for Randle, 2 for ODB. That's a big-time performance there by Eli Manning. I don't know how many people had them in their lineup. Certainly wasn't a favorable matchup, but he absolutely delivered yesterday for anybody who did choose to put him in. I know my opponent I played had him on the bench. I think that goes to show you, you know, how people thought this game would work out. Speaking of ODB, I really don't even know what else to say about this guy. I think I've seen stats earlier that he's somewhere around 1,200 yards and 11 TDs in the 11 games he's played this year. You know what? I'm just to the point where I'm just like, you know what? I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he gets better. I hope he doesn't have anything off the field work ethic, and I don't see that. But from what I'm seeing with my own eyes, if this kid's a rookie, if he continues to get better, if he continues to put the work in, study film, the weight room, you know, everything that it takes to be a great wide receiver in this league, then we're watching greatness before our very eyes, because it's been a long time since I've seen a wide receiver light up defenses week after week after week. I mean, at this point, you know it's coming. And basically, I haven't seen anybody be able to stop him. If you recall, Richard Sherman even had to give it up to this guy after they played and say, yo, this kid is special. So great game by ODB, Reuben Randle. I don't think, you know, he hadn't been on the fantasy radar in weeks. So, you know, maybe somebody took a chance. Again, this was not a game that was supposed to go anywhere how the way it did with the Giants putting up 37 points on St. Louis. So those were your top two receivers for fantasy this week. Coming in number three at the quarterback position, Colin Kaepernick, another guy who we didn't trust for the playoffs. I think rightfully so. If you look at his past couple weeks, Seattle, the Raiders, anybody brave enough to play him this week, so reap the benefits. Another day poor passing, only 114 yards, a little 3-yard TD, but it was his 90-yard touchdown run that really would have busted the bank open for your fantasy football team this week. Had over 100 yards rushing, so he got it done, 27 points there. The other guy involved in that one, Frank Gore of the San Francisco 49ers, 21 points. Gore, without Carlos Hyde there, got the full workload, had a 52-yard scamper early in that ball game, finished with 158 rushing yards. Not too sure how many people had him in as well after how things that went the last 2 weeks, although he at least did score a touchdown, but the yardage was low last week against the Seattle Seahawks. Coming in, your number four quarterback, Tony Romo, definitely been consistent. You have to give it up to Romo this year. After the Cowboys melting so many times in December, after the Cowboys being a 500 team so many years for his mistakes, I looked at his stats the last couple years, and Romo's been solid. You know, some injuries, definitely interceptions at the wrong time. Over the last 4 to 5 years, if healthy, Romo's been averaging basically about 30 TDs and about, you know, 12, anywhere from 12 to 13, 14 interceptions. And so you'll take it. And this year with the interceptions down, he's killing it right now. He's been an absolute stud for your team in the playoffs. If you look at what he did against the Bears a couple weeks ago, if you look at what he did last week at Philly, and then yesterday at Indianapolis, playing Indianapolis, if you've got Tony Romo in that quarterback, he has been working it for you in a major way. He spread the football out yesterday. The most unlikely of candidates was coming in on the wide receiver list this week, tied for number three, that being, Terrence Williams of the Dallas Cowboys. He had 52 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a guy I honestly looked at yesterday and thought about all for about 5 seconds. Obviously with the result afterward, I wish I would have scooped him up, but he was a big-time player. Dez Bryant catching a touchdown. Also, Mr. Jason Witten is late in the year, probably not on too many people's radar. Maybe some people thought with DeMarco out, a good matchup. And Witten is coming to come on strong, I would say, the more important the games have gotten, the more that Tony Romo has relied on Jason Witten. But 90 yards yesterday, a touchdown, certainly was a big-time asset to your fantasy football team. The Cowboys' defense, however, I'm quite sure not in a lot of lineups, probably have not been able to catch them on the right weeks. Very unpredictable unit, but 13 big points holding Andrew Luck and company to 7 points yesterday. Dez Bryant as well had a touchdown in that one, as well as DeMarco Murray. I will talk about him a little bit more once we actually get into the games. I'm going to bring on the lines with me right now himself, Mr. FSP. Victor Gardner is going to join the show right now. Victor, we're just running through the top 10 players at each position, talking a little bit about how they did yesterday. Before we continue on with the show, I know you have got quite a few leagues going. Myself as well as Jerry, championships on the line tonight. How are things looking for you?
I'll tell you what, thanks for putting me on, Lance. Always good to be in the extra point. I'm in a battle right now. Out of all 21 leagues I'm in this year, I'm only in the championship race. Well, I was in the championship race for 3, but it's down to 1. And it all hinges on all of Denver Broncos players. In my Yahoo League right now, I'm losing 239.67. to 7-1 to 6-7, whatever. Right now I'm down by 106 points pretty much. And we do a lot of points for touches and stuff like that. I was in the opposite situation last week when I had a sizable lead and my opponent had Matt Forte and Ingram and who else? It was a linebacker for New Orleans playing. I won that matchup by .05. So tonight, I need prayers and shout-outs for Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, C.J. Anderson, and Connor Barth. That's right. I have them all on one team, and I need them to really put up numbers for me tonight. Big-time numbers, to be exact. With that being said, this could have been avoided, and I hope you talk about this, Lance, how Joik Bell did not even take one snap in the first quarter of that Chicago Bears game. And that hurt because Reggie Bush took the snaps and the touchdown that I needed for Joik Bell yesterday. And Arizona's defense laid a big egg on me last night, so that's why I'm in the position I'm in with my championship run. If I win tonight, find a way to come back and win, I'm in the championship, possibly against Jerry, because Jerry's trailing in his semifinal game, and he has Jeremy Hill going tonight, and he's down by I believe, 60 or 70 points. And he doesn't look good. Russell Wilson ran all over Arizona last night, causing Jerry to have a huge deficit. But if both of us win tonight, we square off in the championship next week. So that's where I'm at right now. And just pray for a brother. Pray for a brother.
I love it. I love it. All right, man. Well, definitely. We're sending those prayers out. you're not the only person who needs prayers answered tonight. Great stuff there, though. Again, we knew this Denver Bronco Cincinnati game was going to have huge implications on tonight's show. Let's go ahead and keep it pushing through so we can get everybody situated for the game tonight. Your number five, scoring quarterback this week, Philip Rivers of the San Diego Chargers, got off to a rough start, and quite sure his owners were shaking their heads saying, here we go again. I know myself, I texted the fellas and told them, you kind of see the trend continuing with Rivers struggling against these better defenses, 49ers defense ranked in the top 10 all major categories. But as we've seen happen so many times in the NFL, and what I said to myself at that point was, when you had that much time left in the game, and there's nothing better if you have a quarterback or a wide receiver who's heavily targeted and their team gets behind 21-0, because early in the ball game, because you know from that point moving forward, it shouldn't be nothing but stats racking up. And that's pretty much what happened to Philip Rivers. Outscored San Francisco 31-7 in the second half. Rivers finished 355, four TD passes, three interceptions. The recipients of his money, a guy who makes our top 10 this week, coming in actually at number four, Eddie Royal, had 96 receiving yards and a touchdown. He's another guy I looked at all for about 10 seconds passing by, because I was looking for some flex options this week with LeGarrette Blount being out, Dan Heron not really liking that matchup, questionable on Kelvin Benjamin. That was really the only spot this week on my team that I entertained some of the choices. And with Keenan Allen being out, he certainly was able to handle his business. Again, 96 yards, 15 catches, with Rivers having to pass 54 times. I think that's certainly what got those targets up for him, as well as Antonio Gates. Gates is going to finish in the top five at the tight end position this year. Has been a red zone monster this year. Another two touchdowns. He came in second behind Luke Wilson. And then Chargers defense even got 35 hung on him. Still made the top 10 with 8 points. That's in standard format. Victor, for Philip Rivers, Eddie Royal, Antonio Gates, and the San Diego Chargers defense. Did you have any of those guys? Did you play against them? What were your prospects for them as far as?
You're about to make me cry. You're really about to make me cry, Lance.
Okay, because, and also, real quick, Vic, also keep in mind we got about an hour to go, and we got a lot of work to cover. I just wanted to throw that out there because I can't lie. I, for you, myself, everybody right now, guys performing and not performing are certainly having a much bigger effect on us than the usual week. Go ahead.
Gotcha, brother. I'll keep it as short as possible. Yes, I did play against Philip Rivers. And, yes, I was so happy for the first three quarters that Philip Rivers looked like a bum. And then I went out to dinner with my wife. And then I went to bed. And then when I woke up, I saw that Philip Rivers went off. And I was crying because Philip Rivers in my league doubled his performance. That's making my plight for tonight's game so much harder. He was supposed to get 48 points. He ended up getting 82, 83 points based upon the three touchdowns, 345 yards, and the length of those touchdowns. So, yes, he did kill me so far, but the game's not over. As far as anybody else on San Diego's team, I thought it was going to be what it was. I thought that Malcolm Floyd was going to get in the end zone, as well as Eddie Royal having a decent game or so. But Philip Rivers was the big, big shocker. And I was hoping that Aaron Rodgers would do the same, because he started off really slow yesterday, but he did not. So, yes, I hate Philip Rivers right now, especially if I don't get into the championship because of his performance.
Yeah, I hear you there, and sometimes it's just the way the game flows. Like you said, you would much rather have had that be a 20-17, 24-20 game instead of 49ers getting up that early and then put them in that situation. So I understand there. Moving on, your next quarterback, number six, Cam Newton this week, 201 passing yards, a TD, an interception. The big thing, which we have not seen from Cam Newton on a consistent basis this year, that Russell Wilson has really given his owners an advantage that you cannot understand from the quarterback position. But Newton has 62 rushing yards in the TD. There's an extra 12 points, even though his day passing was average at best. The other guy on Carolina who shined yesterday, Jonathan Stewart, gave you a buck 22 on the ground. He's made it rather obvious I think as we all know, as long as he's healthy, he never gets the opportunity because when D'Angelo's there, they share the workload. But when healthy, getting the full workload, Jonathan Stewart's still a very productive running back. He's always been the better running back out there in Carolina. And then you had Carolina's defense pumping in 10 points, holding the Cleveland Browns offense, which is struggling right now, in check across the board. Victor, for Cam Newton, for Jonathan Stewart, for Carolina's defense, anything. We're going to talk about Kelvin Benjamin and Olsen, who didn't show up, once we actually get to the game.
I'll tell you right now that my opponent, and it's like you know my opponent's roster because you're going down the players. He actually set Jonathan Stewart in favor of Lamar Miller, Jamal Charles, and his third running back was, I can't think of him right now, I got to go to it. But we were just texting back and forth. Had he played Jonathan Stewart, the matchup pretty much would have been out of hand. I would have had to get at least 200 points to have won because Jamal Charles only got him like 19 points. But, yeah, those are some people that perform. I actually set Greg Olsen. I set Greg Olsen. I know you're going to get to him, but I set Greg Olsen in favor of Delanie Walker because he was too fragile or whatever. And it turned out to be a good thing because he didn't get one catch until the third or fourth quarter, and it was only one catch. So you're hitting on all the players, man. Are you at the Yahoo League looking at everything or something? What's going on?
Nope. You know what? Right now we are just running through the top players in fantasy this week. And so far we've discussed Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Luke Wilson, Seattle's defense. We talked about Tannehill, Lamar Miller, Mike Wallace, basically all the top players. You came in right around Phillip Rivers. So we also talked about Kaepernick and Gore, 49ers, Romo, anybody Dallas-related as far as top 10 on this week's list. Number 7, Kyle Orton of the Buffalo Bills. Very popular play for my top waiver wire pickups this week for people having question marks at the quarterback spot. It was Mark Sanchez. It was Kyle Orton. Those guys are in at 7 and 8. Respectively, Orton, I think he did what you would expect. The tricky thing about this here is that it's really a week-to-week situation, and I'm noticing that the further you come down the stretch run, the more odder things get because Orton's a guy who, in the Bills' defense, and we'll talk about them in a moment, but over 300 yards passing, 3 TDs, 2 interceptions, he's capable of doing that any week. It's just a matter of when. And when I say capable, not saying like he's a great quarterback or something, but I'm just saying that he's done that maybe about 4 times a season. But you don't know when. You would never suspect, you know, this matchup here because, again, you thought the ball game was going to be more of a, you know, 17-3, 20-3, 20-7 Buffalo-type game. You know, when you're up in the high 20s, different story. But he cashed in, looking across the board for him, another top waiver wire pickup. Fred Jackson had double digits. Anytime he start without any competition, he's always good for that. Sammy Watkins, we hadn't heard from him in weeks. He pops in this week with 13. He rounded out the top 10, 70 yards and a TD. You have Scott Chandler, 9 points coming in, actually fifth this week, a tie for fifth with tight ends with 9 points. Obviously missing from this list is the Buffalo Bills defense, which put up a 1. That's right, a 1. That's all they put up. And so it was a wacky week. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get to the game. But for you, Victor, those guys not really popular. You know, Kyle Orton, Fred Jackson, Scott Chandler, Sammy Watkins, he's always a possibility weekly. By any chance, did you play or have to bump heads with any of those guys?
Hey, Lance, I told you, you're looking at the lineup. I played all these top guys, man. My opponent played Fred Jackson. That was the other running back that he played. And he also played Carolina's defense. I know you had mentioned them earlier. So, yeah, brother, it was rough. That's why I'm sweating now. That's why I'm sweating right now, hoping that Denver pulls it out for me, bro. Because all the players you're mentioning that are in the top 5 or 10, I'm facing them. And it's killing
wow.
me, you know. It's killing me.
Wow. 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 Okay. Let's keep it pushing so we can get into the games. Again, I want to make sure I can get everybody seated and situated before the game starts tonight. Number eight, as I mentioned, was Mark Sanchez. I think he did exactly what you would expect. This one was a little bit of a reminder for me because I had in my NFL league, which I'm currently, this is the one right now that I'm down 14. And, I mean, the longest shot that you could ever imagine is possible for me. But the quarterbacks that I was juggling this year is Matt Stafford and Nick Foles. And Foles, when he got injured, there were some games against Tennessee, against Dallas, against Green Bay, this week against Washington, that I, you know, am pretty sure I would have used him, and I end up having to roll with Matt Stafford, who was a top five projected guy across the board this week. It was a matchup like some of these other players that we're about to reach our duds as soon as we come off these last two guys. But it just was a reminder for me because I played against Mark Sanchez, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, as I did, you know what, Sanchez played Carolina. That was a game after Foles got hurt, and I'm saying to myself, you know, if I would have had Nick Foles, this would certainly be a different circumstance. I end up playing against Sanchez. Nonetheless, 374, two TDs, an interception, a fumble. Shady McCoy, he's on the list this week, 16 points. Riley Cooper, he pops up for a week. He got 17. And, goodness, Zach Ertz pops in for a week as well. He had 11. For those who had a kicker, Cody Parkey, he hurt you big time, missing two field goals. Victor, I know somehow, some way, you probably played some of these guys. Help you, hurt you?
Actually, I didn't play any of them, at least in the champions. Well, I did. I played Cody Parkey. And that was the thing. I warned a lot of my friends that do FanDuel and DraftKings not to pick Parkey up because he was dealing with a groin injury. And it showed. He missed his first two field goals. And he pushed them to the right. In my league, he was scheduled to get 7.82 points, but he only ended up with three, and that was from, you know, the touchdowns or what have you, the extra points. But other than that, I didn't play anybody from this Philly game. Thank goodness. No, excuse me. I take that back. Connor Barwin. I played Connor Barwin. He was scheduled to get 8.29. He only got three. So all around, Philly disappointed. And at least for my opponent, he disappointed. But, yeah, Riley, I was expecting Matthews to get those touchdowns and all those yards. I'm not sure why he didn't go to him in the end zone fly, but, yeah, that's what I had, Lance. Thankfully, I didn't have to face Riley or anybody else like that other than Parkey and Connor Barwin.
Okay, sounds good. Well, look, we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, I think we're going to get to the stuff that is a little bit more of importance. I can't speak for everyone else out there, but I would have to assume so because we got the studs, we got the guys going who have on paper and by what we've seen so far this season and what's going on right now, a lot of guys who have very favorable matchups who you were depending on. It's not so much maybe about your opponent doing so well as it is about your guys not performing. And that's something that I always look. When I come into a matchup, I really don't even think about, well, I look at what my opponent has to offer, but I try to put myself in a situation where I'm saying if my guys take advantage of their matchups the way they're supposed to and they perform at the level they're supposed to, I should be just fine. The list of players that we're going to talk about when we come back, is not the situation. These guys did not perform, some guys, in multiple weeks, and it had a huge impact on people advancing and having a shot at the championship tonight. So it is. Mr. FSP, Victor Gardner, is here with us the rest of the show. NFL Exporter, we are shouting out our guy, Jerry Taylor. All of us, championships on the line tonight. Let's run to a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's talk about these duds. Let's talk about these players who let us down once again.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry, the Master Taylor, and Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Extra Point Championship week it is, week 16. We are getting ready. Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals. You already know the players and the names by now who are involved in this one and what you need them to do and what you do not want them to do. We're going to push over now to our studs. We just got through running top 10 players or top 8 or so. We're going to look at the games. We're going to look at our duds. We're going to make sure we make the match everybody in this thing. Quarterback position. Top duds this week. Andrew Luck, couldn't find him. Couldn't tell me that wasn't a favorable matchup this week. He was actually one of my top 10 starts. How about Matthew Stafford? How about Jimmy Clausen? let me just run down these quarterbacks real quick. Let's do it that way. Yeah, Andrew Luck was zero. Matt Stafford, and that was against Dallas, mind you. Matt Stafford at Chicago. We just seen Chicago get lit up by Stafford, then by Tony Romo, then by Drew Brees. Matt Stafford could not even throw a touchdown for you yesterday, for me yesterday, after the week before at home against Minnesota, mind you. He can't get me only one TD, yet I'm looking at Ryan Tannehill yesterday light Minnesota up for four TDs and an interception. It really makes you wonder, but Stafford, he's got to be one of him and Luck have to be for the fact that they couldn't even reach double digits. I mean, they had to be huge disappointments. Joe Flacco, don't know how many people had him. You've heard, we've all talked about how it's really sad that Joe Flacco, from all the championship experience that he's had, how these deep playoff runs, winning the Super Bowl, that is one inconsistent quarterback right there. I have to say that about Joe Flacco. And then the following four guys are all inside of the top 10 right now. Probably did next to nothing. I think you'll respect double digits any day. But Drew Brees, with 10 points, and that's lucky. That's got to be because for him throwing, I forgot these leagues, they don't penalize anything extra if you throw an interception or fumble recovery unless this is an individualized setting. So I apologize, that probably happened. But Brees with 10, Tom Brady got outplayed by Geno Smith yesterday. If you played Geno Smith yesterday, you got better numbers from Geno than you did Tom Brady with 10. Ben Roethlisberger, only 12 points. Aaron Rodgers, only 14. Rodgers had the yardage, but not the touchdowns. When I just take a look at this list, I'm just saying that seriously, you could have played Charlie Whitehurst, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sean Hill rounded out our top 10 with 17. We told you about Kyle Orton. Ryan Tannehill was second. Blake Bortles. I mean, the list goes on. And I'm just saying, for you to make it this far and those guys in those matchups, Rodgers at Tampa, Roethlisberger against Kansas City, Brady, it's still the Jets secondary, Breeze, Atlanta is still Atlanta secondary, the Bears secondary, Dallas, even the Texans secondary. I understand J.J. Watt, but seeing those quarterbacks perform in that fashion, it's a huge reason for me that in both of my championship games, it should even if Matt Stafford, who's got eight for me in my league, if he's got 20 points, which is number 200 yards and two TDs, and honestly, you know, maybe that's the way the chips fell. His two interceptions were basically touchdown attempts, touchdown pass attempts. They end up getting picked off. But if he's got 20 for me, which is what I thought minimum, right now, I am only 1 point behind, and I'm in it with Connor Barth against A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill because I don't think those guys are going to have huge nights. In my other league, I have Stafford. I'm ahead by four, but the game should be out of reach. Connor Barth should be putting my icing on for me. Victor, talk to me. I think right now we are just speaking for fantasy owners out there about these quarterbacks, some of them 2 weeks in a row, who just really left you hanging high and dry when you were banking on these matches. When you looked at your playoff schedule ahead, these were matches that you had accounted as money in the bank.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned my main guy. He's my keeper. That's Aaron Rodgers. 2 weeks in a row. First week, Buffalo, you know, shuts him down after shutting down Peyton Manning, but lays an egg this week against David Carr. Really? Really? Not to mention, if Aaron Rodgers does not get that last-minute touchdown when they have the ball on the one versus Tampa, I would be in a worse hole than I'm already in. You know, I get it. Green Bay plays horrible on the road. They average 21 points on the road. Got it. But there were several drops, and I think Green Bay leads the league or second in the league in drops. And it's killing me in the sense that you're right, Aaron Rodgers was my guy that I said, okay, well, towards the end of the season, I don't have to worry about it because either they're going to be pushing for a division championship or the number one seed, and he has favorable matchups. You know, favorable matchups. I did not expect Buffalo to play the way they did. Got it, but I still won that game. But I did expect Aaron Rodgers to go out there and have at least three or four touchdowns versus Tampa Bay, who was terrible, terrible against the pass. He was sick. He has a messed up calf or whatever. But damn, you're killing me, son. You're killing me. I'm thinking I'm going to have the 82 points, and my opponent has Philip Rivers with 82 points. It's a killer, man, straight up and down.
Yep, I'm with you there, man. Like I said, Stafford, I've got him in my Yahoo and in my NFL. And like I said, well, right now for me, down 14. And, you know, I'm looking at if Stafford just has 20 and the Rams, he could even give me 5. I got nothing from them. Then right now I'm ahead a few points. Like I said, we'll see how it goes. Everybody has their own agendas tonight. I think, honestly, for Jeremy Hill, I think double digits is a fair assumption based on if they get in the goal. He's a power back. He can get it in. AJ, same thing, he's a big play guy. But I think overall, I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm looking at my guys not performing. I'm like, for Matthew Stafford, for 2 weeks, I mean, like you said, me and you are in the same, Aaron Rodgers and Matt Stafford owners are in the same predicament, which is in favorable matchups. Now, you didn't know Buffalo's defense was going to be that good coming into the year. And again, Jordy Nelson dropped the heat. There were some things that happened. We look at reality, though. You got Aaron Rodgers in back-to-back games for you in the playoffs with one TD pass. Matt Stafford, the same thing, at home Minnesota, on the road at Chicago, and when you got one TD pass, that will absolutely kill you every time. Moving over to some running backs who certainly didn't pop up this week, Justin Forsett, he was a guy I spoke about on the master plan yesterday, reminding everybody how familiar the Texans are with the zone blocking scheme. They see it every day in practice with Arian. Gary Kubiak used to coach over there. J.J. Wyatt, trying to run against them is just a problem in general, 9 times out of 10. And then we also have Jamal Charles, killed his owners these last 2 weeks, absolutely killed them in matchups that you had to be saying coming in looking at this thing, beyond favorable, at home against Oakland, on the road against Pittsburgh. Unbelievable. 4 points for Jamal Charles, 2 for 4 sets. Justin Crowell, I think we all understand his hotness cooled off very quickly. Cleveland just not able to run the football this year. That's just the reality of the situation. Darren Sproles, nice little flex play at Philly. Didn't quite pan out for him, only 6 points. There's only a few running backs there who didn't pan out this week. Talk to me. Any of those guys, you know, I guess had to hurt you. Obviously, if you played against them, it was great for you.
Actually, I didn't play any, man. I really didn't. Again, I've got 21 leagues I'm in, but I'm only really, really in the hunt in this one because the other ones, I got knocked out in the first round. I was either the 3 seed or the 1 seed that got upset, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, no, I really don't have any.
Okay, good, good. I guess I'm quite sure that we could speak for anybody who owns Jamal Charles, and we're in the playoffs last week. And this, that had that,
I'm
that
sorry,
definitely.
Had, okay. I'm sorry, I did play Jamal Charles. Okay. His points were so minuscule that I didn't even pay attention to it. I'm looking at it right now, and the opponent I'm in against, he did have Jamal Charles, and thankfully he did not score the points that he was supposed to score. So, and he's hurting. He hurt him. And I, all season long, me and this guy have been trying to trade. He wants Demaryius Thomas. I want Jamal Charles. But he's not willing to make the compensation that I want, and he's not willing to accept what I was going to give him. But, yeah, thank goodness I didn't get him because I would have been hurt even further. So I do apologize about that. I knew I threw you off. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. And we apologize to owners for Jamal Charles not performing for you these last couple weeks. A guy, again, that you had to look at those matchups and be licking your chops. I mean, at Pittsburgh, are you serious? All right, next wide receiver list, long and healthy. You know, you got some names. I'm quite sure these guys were playing. DeAndre Hopkins, we had told you a long time ago for him to cool off on that after that game-breaking situation. Quarterback carousel. Fitzgerald, you know better. Not enough speed ever to get by Seattle's defense. Mike Evans, Calvin Benjamin, four piece, tough matchups. There, Josh Gordon, we warned you about him until we just told you, until you've seen a successful game, pump your brakes there. Dwayne Bowe, only mentioning because Evil and Alex Smith, those for over 300 yards. The guy only could still come away for 50 yards against Pittsburgh's defense. That is just ridiculous. Lodi White had a key drop. He would have been up towards 90 yards. He had 5 points. Guys with six, Kenny Stills, Golden Tate, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon LaFell, Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson. Just my quick thoughts on this list, and then Vic, you can jump in, because a lot of these guys did not have championship-type years to really have heavy implications, but definitely more complimentary players, waiver wire guys, guys you caught maybe in later rounds. For me, Mike Evans, I thought that game was going to be a bigger blowout. So I thought that Mike Evans was going to be able to pick up some yardage and possibly a touchdown in garbage time. Kelvin Benjamin, it played out exactly how I thought it would, even with Joe Hayden being out of there. There were just too many variables going into that game. The thing about Benjamin, who I played, that you have to love, and, you know, for me, it's about opportunity as well. He had 12 targets. So, I mean, I don't know what else you can ask for, you know, essentially with these players, with fantasy football. It really is just based on, you know, as much as possible, opportunity. So, I mean, I can't complain with a receiver getting 12 targets, you know. I don't think anybody can complain with that. Josh Gordon, I think that was easy to figure out. Kenny Stills, you know what, those four turnovers for New Orleans really, you know, turnovers are key because they take away possessions. I honestly think without those mistakes, he could have actually had a little bit more yardage. Jeremy Maclin, a surprise. Sanchez, 374, only 60 of those yards. He was another one of my top starts this week. I thought he would have some nice yardage there, up over 100. And then I think the big shock to me was Andre Johnson. He had 56 yards with about 8 minutes left in the first quarter. Ended with only 60. He looked like he was well. I don't think, you know, too many people had him in, but he looked like he was well on his way to a big day. Victor. The name of receivers here, not too many disappointments. Were there any guys that you were depending on or you thought they would perform better than they did? Again, most notably, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, Kenny Stills, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon LaFell, Golden Tate. He's another guy. I'll let you expound on him. Surprise, he did not have a better game than he did.
I'll tell you right now, Golden Tate and Kenny Stills, I did have in my FanDuel and DraftKings, not in my big money leagues. I am a little disappointed in the output, although Golden Tate could have had more if Clawson targeted him a little more. But not Clawson, Stafford, because, you know, you already had your issue with Stafford. But I did face Kelvin Benjamin, and exactly what you said, there were too many variables in Benjamin's situation that led me to not want to start him in other leagues and made me happy that my opponent did. You have a quarterback coming back off of a car accident that made his previous injury worse. So what does that tell me? they're going to have to run the ball. Cam Newton had 101 yards going into the fourth quarter. Okay? So, Benjamin didn't disappoint me. He did what I thought he would do. Very little. Even though, as you said, he had 12 targets. And in some leagues, mine included, targets equal points. Not many points, but points. Like, I think I give a quarter for every target or 0.5 for every target, something like that. But those opportunities could have been capitalized on. Probably should have been, but they weren't. But, yeah, Kenny still disappointed me in my FanDuel league. But as you said, Lance, turnovers by New Orleans hurt those opportunities. Those and Al-Toon. Al-Toon, I thought he was going to have a bigger game. But que sera, sera, will be, will be. That's it, brother.
Okay, definitely, man. Sounds good. Let's go ahead and touch on a couple games that we have not touched on yet. Those were your some of your duds at the main position there. Taking a look inside of here, and you know what? I think that's something we did a great job of is by doing some mixing and matching there. Yeah, we were pretty much able to touch on every game, so that's good business there. Just go ahead and just continue then pushing through the stat sheet here, some guys who should have stuck out to you. So let's go ahead and touch base, since we're on receivers. Let's talk about some receivers who were successful. Jordy Nelson, he had the type of bounce-back game I expected. I'm going to say this about Jordy Nelson moving forward. He's going to have to be a top-five receiver. The thing that I like about him is, and not saying that he wasn't already, he was definitely top 10 coming into the season, but when you have a situation where everybody knew that because he's Aaron Rodgers' main receiver, and last week he dropped a touchdown, Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers had to go in the air with the football into Jordy Nelson's arms, he was going to make sure that he could make up for that missed touchdown last week. And so, you know, I know that, you know, again, when it comes to fantasy, it's just about opportunity. Jordy Nelson is a guy, and we're going to look at that next week, you know, your top players at each position moving forward. But because of that reason right there, you can't say that. Like, for example, right now, and I know it's a whole different quarterback, wide receiver chemistry, but for Sammy Watkins, I just look and say, if he has some games that he's not doing too well, at what point do you say, let me just force it to him? You know, even if it's going deep every time or whatever the case may be. So, you know, just recognize an opportunity, Jordy Nelson. Everybody knew this week that that man was going to score a touchdown because he dropped one last week. Aaron Rodgers is going to force that ball into him. Him and Randall Cobb, who's on this list with 13, Jordy was 17. These guys teamed up yesterday, 20 catches, 244 yards, a touchdown to one for Jordy. I know I could have used one from Randall Cobb. In my game, I'm down 14. I was dying. I was just waiting to see that scoreboard line. It really would have pushed that over the top of me. Obviously, they've been two of the top guys all year long. Talk to me, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, either one of those guys hurt or were with you. Obviously, they were two players who were pretty much in every fantasy football playoff. They had that type of year.
Well, Lance, I didn't face either one of them, thank goodness. But Randall Cobb had a decent game. He was both players were over 100 yards. Jordy was the only one that got the touchdown, though. But you saw the dynamic ability of Randall Cobb. They lined him up in the backfield again. They threw him swing passes. They threw him balls across the middle. They threw balls deep to him. So I think he's going to end up becoming the guy in a year or so as Jordy Nelson starts to age a little more. But neither one hurt me or helped me. I would have loved to have the Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson combination, but, you know, it is what it is. Next week versus Detroit, a very stingy defense, you might see the same situation there, especially for those like myself who have championships next week. How much can they actually help you next week going against that stingy Detroit line defense? But this week, neither one hurt or helped.
Okay. I'm going to throw a couple guys in here now that were waiver wire look at this week or possible additions. Some of these guys may not be people that myself or Victor threw at you. Victor can speak on his behalf for anybody who may have. But looking at some names this week on the waiver wire, let's talk about that for a minute. We talked about Kyle Orton and Mark Sanchez stepping in, doing a great job. Both of those guys, over 20 points if you wanted. some assistance at quarterback. Running back position this week, Matt Asiata. From day one, that's been my man, Jerry's guy. I know myself, I overlooked him, failing to realize he was the only one getting the carries out there. And so that was I looked at him yesterday. Look, another game, I'm quite sure on the other FSP shows this week, I know my shows as well, this was a week in the NFL and fantasy football, which obviously go hand in hand, that had more unpredictable things happen than I had seen in a long time. And there's no way you could have told anybody, whoever took the over in that Miami-Minnesota game, I know it couldn't have been any more than 40 points. That was a game Miami was supposed to defensively dominate, because Minnesota's defense was playing well. That was supposed to be a 20-17, 20-3-17 type game. Miami outscored Minnesota 23-18, but my point being, Matt Asiata had 20 points, two touchdowns, and he's a guy that I looked at, didn't really give any serious thought to. At the wide receiver position, like I said, I don't think too many people have Reuben Randall. Terrence Williams, he was available on the waiver wire. I had only thought about him because I just thought it was going to be a shootout. I knew that the Colts would be thinking about, so much concern with Dez. Maybe he popped through for a week. He showed up. I thought about Eddie Royal, again, because Keenan Allen is out. Both of those guys are on a list here. Tight ends, as far as the waiver wire is concerned, I can't really say anybody. After anything, Luke Wilson, again, with the way Arizona's defense was expected to play that type game, he couldn't have been in a lot of lineups. Maybe some people take a look at Jason Witten this week. Charles Clay had been banged up. He had 11 points. I don't think anybody looked at him. Maybe Zach Ertz based on matchup. And then your defense and special teams. Green Bay was a popular choice. I know that all three of us, myself, Victor, Jerry, entertained them as one of the defense. I know we end up basically saying they had the best prospects due to their offense moving the ball. Anybody going with Dallas? I thought about Pittsburgh for a second just because of how watered down KC's offense is. Carolina was a popular pickup playing the Browns. I don't think anybody had the Jets. People more than likely stayed away from San Diego, San Francisco. So for you, Victor, Kyle Orton, Mark Sanchez at quarterback, Matt Asiata looking, like I said, but yeah, by this time, Jonathan Stewart been eating up Lamar Miller. So Matt Asiata at running back, wide receiver, I would say Terrence Williams, Eddie Royal, tight end, Jason Witten, and then defense special teams, Green Bay, or Carolina, any of those guys help or hurt you? Or did you have some nice prospects for this week and they performed well?
You mentioned a couple already. I want to say that everybody pretty much gave up on Terrence Williams because Beasley was coming on. Well, both of them showed up yesterday versus the Colts. And that was a surprise, actually, the way Dallas handled the Colts. Their defense was definitely a surprise. I didn't think they were going to force Andrew Luck to be benched after his first drive in the third quarter. I don't know if people realize that. Andrew Luck was benched or placed on the bench for whatever reason after the first drive of the third quarter. Matt Hasselbeck came in and started throwing the ball to Moncrief and all those other guys. I mean, it's pretty much garbage time. Hakeem Nicks and all those other guys showed up and got some passes and a touchdown or so. But those are some people that I was like, okay, Terrence, I'll take a shot with him in FanDuel or DraftKings, but not on my championship because right now I'm a ride with those people that, you know, I went with. But a person I can say I went looking for like a Alphonso Smith. Because you didn't know what the deal was with Frank Gore. And Frank Gore went off. I didn't pick up Alphonso, but somebody else did. You know what I mean? So if you're talking about waiver wire pickups and stuff like that, yeah, there were a bunch of guys, namely on the Dallas squad. I mentioned Beasley and Williams that did well, but Hakeem Nicks did well for the first time. You know? Who else? I can't think of anybody else on this year that has done well, but this week, and Jerry texted to me, a weird fantasy week. This week and last week, weird fantasy week for your star players. And the waiver wire pickups showed up again. That's what I got.
All right, man, sounds great. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you look across the board, when you look at Washington beating Philadelphia, that San Diego-San Francisco game, 38-35, Miami-Minnesota, 37-35, Detroit eking by, Chicago, Atlanta ripping New Orleans, Green Bay not blowing out Tampa Bay how you would expect, the Giants putting up 37 on St. Louis on the road, Buffalo losing, and Indianapolis getting trounced. I don't think people were surprised maybe the Dallas won, but Indianapolis getting trounced and New England only putting up 17 points, barely squeaking by the Jets. Again, fantasy numbers are associated. Just bad time of year for fantasy purposes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you respect what went on in the NFL. But, again, when you got those things happening in football games, you know, New England only 17, Green Bay only 20, Detroit only 20. People got fantasy players on these teams, you know. So, you know, if points are being scored, you're not going to see the production. And it was just a weird week across the board. We're going to run it one more quick break when we come here. We're just going to finish up, man, just talk a little bit more fantasy. We're getting ready. We're winding down to about a half an hour or less now. Denver against Cincinnati. This is the Extra Point Championship show, week 16. Victor Gardner is here. Look, we do this for a reason. Both of us, championships on the line tonight, along with, as he likes to call it, the esteemed one, Mr. Jerry Taylor over on the Master Plan. Everybody playing for championships tonight or a shot to reach one next week. So we're going to run to another quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, let everybody get nice and situated for a big Monday night football game, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point Championship Show, Week 16, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals, and without question, this is one of the fantasy games. I'm quite sure if we looked into these games, it had to be a game that was amongst the top with as far as the most players involved in this game, that without question we're going to have effects. We're talking about Peyton Manning, C.J. Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, perhaps Julius Thomas, kicker Connor Barth, perhaps Denver's defense special teams for Cincinnati, perhaps Andy Dalton, Jeremy Hill, still a lot of Giovanni Bernard in deeper league, Mohamed Sanu, another waiver wire pickup of interest this week, A.J. Green, perhaps Mike Nugent. And so a lot of players that's in this game tonight, myself, Victor, Jerry Taylor, the master plan, all the players involved in this game tonight, all needing them to do different things. Obviously, there's going to be some conflict of interest, but I hope the scales balance out and everybody's able to bring in a championship. I am competing for two tonight. Victor, you're down to one, and I believe Jerry is down to maybe two or three, but I know for sure one tonight. It's so funny when, Victor, you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders because that is who Victor needs not to, excuse me, who Jerry needs not to perform well, yet you need him very much so. So it's always funny when that happens. Real quickly before we wrap up, let's take a look at some defensive special teams. There were a travesty this week along with some kickers. I'm talking about the Cardinals, the worst defense this week, -9. Right behind them, the Rams, -6. I know those are defenses that most me and Victor played. I think Jerry had as well. Man, huge disappointment there. New Orleans Saints, there was a reason they only had 18 points coming into this week, and they're down to 14. They may be at zero by the time that this year is over. Absolutely pathetic. I don't want to hear anything about that Ryan out there being anybody else's coach or coordinator. Horrible. Minnesota Vikings, -2. Colts, -1. Tampa Bay, nothing at all. Buffalo with 1. Baltimore with 2. Kansas City, they really fell off the second half of the season, 3. The Jets defense had more than the Patriots defense this week. Go figure that. With 5. The New England Jets had 9. Miami had 6. And Detroit, only 7. I don't know how Jimmy Clausen, with the exception of 2 turnovers by Matthew Stafford, I don't know how Jimmy Clausen put any points on the scoreboard at all. But this is the NFL. This is the way it is. Victor, talk to me. I know for a fact the Cardinals' defense, you didn't have high hopes for, but that was not the plan, 35 points.
Guys, you are the salt in the wound. This defense, yes, I didn't expect them to be world beaters and get me 20 points, but I damn sure didn't expect them to get me -1.44 points. You know, they let Russell Wilson run all over them. And then, for a quarterback that doesn't throw over 200 yards consistently, he threw for 339 yards. Killing me, bro. Killing me. Now, just to clarify a couple things, Jerry, he has a long shot of making it to the championship in this other matchup. But right now, in the ESPN League, he is going to the championship next week. But he does not need Emmanuel Sanders to go off, as you said, but I need him to go off, or Demaryius Thomas and C.J. Anderson. So I can live without, you know, Sanders going off, but I'm going to need Bart, C.J., and Thomas to really, really go off if that takes place. If we're looking at, you know, special teams, defense, and what's going to go down tonight, I'm not sure if that's where you're headed, but I'm going to try to go down there. It's going to be tough. Cincinnati is terrible at night games, terrible at featured games. I don't know if they're going to try to break the curse tonight or what have you, but they are just abysmal. And I played a soundbite Saturday from Andy Dalton himself saying, you know, we're just bad. We're bad at night games, so on and so forth. And I was just watching Ray Lewis not too long ago talk about how Andy Dalton said he's satisfied or he's happy to be in the playoff hunt 4 years in a row. Because if you're just happy you're making it to the playoffs 4 years in a row, you have no aspiration of going to the Super Bowl or being champions. Continue to play down to those expectations. Mohamed Sanu and A.J. Green, I feel sorry for them because Talib is going to lock down one of them. You know, it's going to be a lot of hitting on that side of the ball. Giovanni Bernard, along with Jeremy Hill, they might have to find running room and stuff like that. It's going to be tough tonight, Lance. It really is. And hopefully it's going to be tough on Cincinnati and not Denver. But like I said, we need certain players to perform tonight, defense and special team-wise. Yesterday, not that big of a surprise to me, other than Arizona screwing me. They gave me the screw job. But Buffalo really, really surprised me, bro. Really surprised me at what they were doing or what they had done last night versus the last 2 weeks. I mean, Arizona and Buffalo just told me to bend over and take it with no Vaseline, like Ice Cube and death certificate. I mean, it was one of those types of things. But if y'all don't get that reference, when Ice Cube was with NWA and he left, he had a LP called Death Certificate, and one of the tracks were called No Vaseline, so two and two together. Other than that, hopefully myself and other players that were riding Buffalo and Arizona into their playoff game or championship game won't be hurt too badly by their performances yesterday. So that's what I got, Lance.
Okay, sounds good. I think without question as well, the Rams defense, obviously a huge disappointment. I know people expected much more out of Buffalo. I think without question, I think the Rams and Bills, Cardinals, definitely the biggest surprises, and then people certainly disappointed in Miami, in Detroit, in New England. You're banking on those matchups, perhaps even the Ravens with a third-string quarterback there. Lastly, before we get out of here, your kickers, Justin Tucker, he hurt you down the stretch. Last 2 weeks, he has not put up anything. He only had one. Adam Vinatieri only one. Stephen Hauschka missed out on a potential 14 points, a couple 50-yarders and a 40-yarder. He only had two. Shane Graham, one of your biggest disappointments all year long, handcuffed to that bad Saints team with two. Cody Parker, two key misses to have him at four. Caleb Sturgis certainly thought that he was going to have a big day considering how that game looked from the outside in, only finished with four. Graham Gano thought a little bit more field goals for him, only four. And then Dan Bailey got victimized, five TDs, only 5 points there. And then Steven got – you know, I apologize. Bailey missed one for the first time, so he got a little bit penalized. They actually scored six TDs out in Dallas. He had five. Steven Gostkowski, I think he was a huge disappointment. Come on, playing the New York Jets, he only comes away with five. Victor, any of those kickers help or hurt you?
Well, we talked about it earlier, how Parkey actually helped me, and I warned people about him a couple of days ago. But I'll tell you, I've really, and this is no joke, I either have Costanzo, which is Arizona's kicker, Connor Barr, or Matt Prater as all of my kickers. No joke. If I have out of all 21 leagues, if I have a different kicker, I can't remember. Oh, you know what? I do have Gostkowski in one of my other leagues, but I wasn't going anywhere in that league. But again, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before: kickers and defenses can help or hurt you in your playoff push, especially in your championship run. Those can be the difference in you winning championships and losing championships. Just like our quarterback scenarios that we talked about earlier, you know, Aaron Rodgers, disappointment. I forgot who else you mentioned, Lance, but these kickers are valuable. 3 points are valuable, extremely valuable, especially when you're in a defensive-type game. So, Parkey, big, big disappointment. Hauschka. Hauschka was the big disappointment, missing, two or three long field goals, but he made up for it with the extra points and a couple of field goals after Seattle turned it on. But he was a big disappointment in my eyes as well, because he had plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, you know, he didn't – actually, no field goals for him, none at all. All – he – now, obviously, you know, making a field goal could perhaps – sometimes change the outcome, but absolutely not in his case. He missed, like you said, he missed 14 points, two 50-yarders, a 40-yarder, and he missed those extra points, which he would have been up over 20 points. They scored five touchdowns last night in Seattle. So he didn't even, like I said, standard format, like you said, that's a matchup you're counting on Stephen Hauschka putting up double digits in that type of game in Arizona. He comes out of there with 2 points.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, Lance, that in your playoffs, just anybody in general, and like you said, I guess we're speaking for them, for our listeners out there, fantasy players, kickers, you know, they're picked last in most drafts. But if you think about it, if you want the best kicker, would you try to get him a little earlier than the last pick or let the computer pick? I would. That's just me. I mean, they're part of your starting lineup in most, you know, formats. And again, they can get you a consistent 6, maybe 8 points per week, whereas you never know with a guy like Brandon Marshall who'll give you a goose egg and then give you 30 the next week. But if you got that consistent kicker, you're pretty much golden. But last night, Hauschka housed, or hosed, I should say, a lot of people, my friend, a lot of people. But that's all I got on the kickers, man. I don't believe that Jimmy Johnson is right, though, that you can get kickers are a dime a dozen. And I know you subscribe to that theorem going back to early on in the season. You just got rid of, like, Dawson and some other folks. But I think they're a little bit more important.
Yeah, well, they're important if they're producing. Yeah, I was asking these guys because I wasn't having it. You know, these guys coming out, missing all these field goals. Like you said, no way to me. That's just me. I'm a guy that's high on points. And, man, see them turnovers and the missed field goals, especially like you said, you're in a league where interceptions and missed field goals, you're getting points taken off. I do not like seeing that. I need guys who are going to cash it in. I understand 50 yards or more. You know, but from, man, come on, 45 and in, I need that money. And guys missing, no, like you said, those are points adding up. Me and you think a lot alike as far as I'm looking for double digits or, you know, as far as the standard type format is, I'm looking for double digits. It's nine guys playing. If everybody is chipping in 10-plus, we had 100 off the rip. And then in the yardage and all that other stuff, I add up from there. But, nah, brother, I told you that earlier, that guy – you know, that'll be part of next week's show as well. You know, he's Reggie Wayne and these guys coming in 5-4, all this stuff weekly. You got to go. Absolutely not. No way. You cannot be taking up a spot on the field if every week that's all you chime in. And you, like you said, you're rubbing salt in the wound. Your quarterback's going for 350 every week. You coming out there 35 yards? Absolutely not. Man, like I said, we're about at that point. We pretty much covered everything that you need to know. So let's do this at the end of the show. Let's go ahead and give our predictions for this Monday night football game, which right now stakes are very, very high. For those of you who just joined us, make sure that you check out the show. It should be available in the next half an hour to an hour here. Also, you know, to go over on Spot On Radio, you can hear it 24/7. But great show today. We looked at the top 10 players at each position, touched base on their games. Also looked at the players who dudded out this weekend. The quarterback position was the one that hurt the most this week. When you're looking at Andrew Luck, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, all these guys, 15 points or less in a standard format, just really hurt, you know, really, 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 really hurt guys in a major way. We also touched base on all the games. It was, like I said, make sure you go back and listen to today's show. We definitely had a lot of good information. I'm quite sure it would be very enjoyable. And if you were in the playoffs or are in the playoffs, the show definitely should be able to relate to without any question. So without further ado, let's go ahead, Victor. Tell me, not what you want. I know what you want. I know what I want, too. But for our owners out there, realistically, what can they expect tonight? I'll let you go through first. The star player on the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, DJ Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, kicker Connor Barth. Tell me what your hopes are for these guys. Let's even throw Julius Thomas in. He's healthy. Still, you're not going to find a better option, even though he hasn't been putting the stats up. But what should fantasy owners expect? Peyton Manning had the thigh injury this week, maybe a little bit slow. What can owners expect from the Broncos? Stud players tonight in this matchup.
Well, here's what I think folks can expect, really, and this isn't with my bias. I think that these owners can expect to see a very competitive game, actually. Cincinnati wins the toss, they're going to take the ball, and they're going to try to run the clock out. I think you're going to see a lot of Hill and Giovanni Bernard if Cincinnati gets the ball first. How does that translate for you fantasy players? That's good because if you have PPR, they're going to get the touches you need. On the opposite side, if Denver gets the ball first, I think they're going to go deep and try to make this a shootout. Knowing that Andy Dalton doesn't have the ability or complementary weapons to stand in a shootout with Peyton Manning, what does that translate to? Emmanuel Sanders going deep. Demaryius Thomas going deep. Maybe C.J. Anderson busting through the line with nobody to stop him. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. No one on Cincinnati's defense can actually stay step-for-step with Emmanuel Sanders. Pac-Man is a good cover guy, but he can get beat and has gotten beaten. They don't have a big physical corner to check Demaryius Thomas. That's money all day. Wes Welker in the slot. There isn't really too many players on Cincinnati's defense that can stay with him. Taylor Mays comes down? I don't think so. Geno Atkins has not provided that pass rush or that pressure up the middle, pressure any quarterbacks. So translation, the linebackers have to come in and blitz and take some of that energy, leaving, if Daniel Thomas plays, him openings right there down the seam. If not, Jacob Tammy. You know, from what I heard, Daniel Thomas isn't going to play. But, you know, things might change. He's not listed as inactive, so maybe he is going to play. I don't know. But realistically, ladies and gentlemen, I look for a high-scoring Denver Bronco team to go out there and perform in a high-scoring manner. So, of course, I'm hoping all my players do what I need them to do. But honestly, with all honesty and sincerity, I think that's going to happen. It's going to be maybe a 40, maybe even 50-something to 20 game. That's what I got, Lance. I mean, it might not be what everybody wants to hear, but I think that's the case. I think A.J. Green doesn't perform for you, neither does Mohamed Sanu. I think it's going to be your running backs from Cincinnati. That's all I got, brother.
Okay, sounds good. Certainly appreciate that there. Myself, I'm looking at Peyton Manning tonight. I think looking at the way the Denver's offense has been operating lately, and I think it's the team that's just preparing for a playoff run. I don't think they're really caring about the score as much. They're there. They pretty much know what the situation is going to be. And so they've been looking to be as efficient as they can in the red zone. They've also been wanting to establish the run. That's been their main thing. They want to run the football. So I think Peyton Manning tonight, I think 275 yards, two TDs, an interception. I think that's what I would project for him. Running back C.J. Anderson, I think 100 all-purpose yards, maybe 80 on the ground, another 20 to 30 in the air, a touchdown, certainly think is in the cards for him. Looking at those wide receivers, I think Demaryius Thomas, as always, is good for 100 yards, maybe 7 catches, 110 yards, a touchdown for Emmanuel Sanders. I would expect similar numbers. I'm going maybe 7 catches tonight. 86 yards, a touchdown. I think both of those guys definitely find the end zone for Julius Thomas. I think you try to work him back in a little bit, maybe 4 catches for 55 yards. As for kicker Connor Barth, I think he'll connect tonight on 4 field goals as well as a couple extra points. I think he's going to have a big night, I think, for the Denver's defense as well. Certainly should be some points, not nothing to rave about, but considering the zeros that me and Victor drew from our defenses this week, and we talk about points count, I'm quite sure those 6 to 7 points or whatever they come out with, somebody will be able to use tonight. Victor alluded to Cincinnati's running backs being the guys really staying out tonight. I think tonight for running back Jeremy Hill, you can expect maybe 6 points from him. Many people don't know Denver, number 2 against the rush overall in the NFL. So I think you could find him tonight with 6 points. Giovanni Bernard, I think, is going to be a guy a little bit more involved because of the pace of this game. I think he can get you 9 points or 90 all-purpose yards and a touchdown tonight. I think for the wide receivers, A.J. Green, I think it's going to be another day at the office for him. Tough matchup for Keith Talib, but I think enough passing goes on. He can maybe come away tonight with 5 catches for 70 yards. Mohamed Sanu is a guy I think who factors in a little bit more. Maybe he gets 85 yards and a touchdown. Quarterback Andy Dalton, who holds the keys to all of this happening, I think he has an okay night. We'll go 240 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. And kicker Mike Nugent, I think he has a pretty good night, a couple field goals, some extra points. I think ultimately this is a game that Denver wins 31-17. Victor, speak on the Bengals real quick, and let's get out of here. Let's let everybody get where they need to be, which is front and center for this big championship Week 16 matchup between the Broncos and the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of championships on the line tonight.
Absolutely right there. Cincinnati, as I said, I believe it's going to be a Giovanni and Hill-type game, mainly because they want to keep Peyton Manning on the sideline and the explosive offense. if it were me and I'm Hugh Jackson, I am running the dog doo-doo out of those two guys. I mean, I really am. I'm not going to try to be fancy. I'm not going to try to beat them deep because the secondary of Denver is pretty decent. T.J. Ward is a hitter, and he likes to intercept the ball from time to time. Khalid is a great cover guy, and I believe he and A.J. Green, still follow A.J. Green all over the place. There are no real weapons if you're looking at a matchup here between Cincinnati and Denver. This is just my opinion again. 31-17 sounds good, but I honestly think that Denver's going to get the 40s or 50s, mainly because they're going to try to make this a shootout, knowing that Andy Dalton cannot and probably will not be able to stay around. That would be my mindset as offensive coordinator for Denver. And if I'm Hugh Jackson, like I said, I'm running the ball. I'm running the ball like 40, 45 times this game. I don't care if Andy Dalton throws but 20 passes. Nobody's using – if you're using Andy Dalton in your championship or your run to the playoff championship, you are in a bad way. You really are, especially going against Denver's defense. Now, would I like to see a shootout? Yes. Will there be a shootout? I don't think so. Lance, my friend, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't have much for Cincinnati of advice. All I can say is they better hope their special team shows up because I think that's their best way of getting in field goal position or scoring position is to flip the field through special teams, punt returns, kick returns, stuff like that. Other than that, my friend, I'm ready to go when you are.
All right, well, let's go ahead and make this happen, man. To all our fantasy football owners out there, we are wishing you the best of luck tonight. Make this only one team can win, so respect the hustle out there for everybody. My man Victor, somebody wish you best of luck, man. I hope Emmanuel Sanders comes through for you the way that you need to. Jerry Taylor, I certainly hope that man, I hope Emmanuel Sanders can do enough for Victor. But not enough to hurt you. And for myself, I certainly need A.J. Green and Jeremy DeHill to throw up some nice fat donuts tonight. I need Connor Barth to pull out championships for me in both of my leagues. And so we shall see to everybody with Denver Bronco and Cincinnati Bengal players playing tonight. Best of luck to you, man. Again, congratulations to everybody making it this far. Don't forget to join me, wrap-up show next week, Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to catch us 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday mornings on the Master Plan. I am the NFL Exporter for Victor Gardner. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter. Send a friend request, Facebook.com, NFL Exporter. Spelling for both of those, NFL, EXPORTER. Man, let's go ahead and get it popping. Without further ado, everybody, let's see you tonight, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals. When we talk next week, I am certainly hoping I have some championships. Until Victor, I'm quite sure me and you will text a little bit later on to see how this one turned out. Best of luck to you, my friend. Let's go get them.
Thank you.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL Exporter has done it again.